glad to have you with us. Some coaching news here. Herm Edwards had his introductory press conference before we get back to the phones. I just want to read you some snippets of what he said. Of course, the audio and video is better than the reading, but
of course,
you got to love this because you know you're about to lose and lose big and hard, no matter how, no matter who the coach is. Phil DiPicciotto, Herm Edwards' agent, which, the way, when has an agent gotten a seat at the table at the press conference?
College football is becoming too commercialized.
Jimmy Sexton's like, dude, as many irons in the fire for me?
Don't agents want to stay in the shadows? They don't want to be at the front.
Old Phil DiPicciotto, he said, quote, I have no doubt on Herm Edwards. Which, by the way, if you want to read the whole release from Arizona State, I was like, what? They're like, that's part of a dramatic reorganization. I don't know why I'm going into Tom Brokaw voice, but I will. As part of a reorganization of the athletic department and the football program based on recruiting and administrative sides, Herm Edwards is going to lead our team that will be more equipped to meet the challenges of the 21st century. And basically what they said is they're going to have like Herm Edwards be a CEO, going to let offensive coordinator basically just handle that over there. Defensive coordinator basically handle that over there. He'll be like basically a CEO, and then they have like boards of people doing administrative stuff and recruiting stuff that are already in the athletic department. So it's not an expansion. It's like a redesignation of roles where like, I mean, you want to talk about some, like if this thing works, it's the craziest idea I've ever heard, and it worked. If it doesn't work, it's a crazy idea and everyone's getting fired.
Aren't they keeping most of Todd Graham's old staff?
They're keeping
anyway,
like the whole, basically the whole thing in play. All the administrators are the same. Like nothing's changing except for they're just bringing in Herm. I couldn't even do it. It's a long release. I would encourage you to go look at it. Edwards' agent says, quote, I have no doubt that he will put a lot of points on the scoreboard of life for everyone in this community. So apparently your press conference script was edited by Butch Jones.
He also, Herm's getting asked a question by a guy who writes for devilsdigest.com, which is a Sun Devil blog, obviously. And Herm goes, oh, I don't know if I like that, man. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Christian. I don't know if I like that. And someone goes,
dude, your
you just
team
took
is
over
the Sun
Arizona
Devils.
State Sun Devils.
Herm said, was asked about whether he's going to coach. He's like, well, I'm not here to play. I can't play, although I have one hit left in me.
Does he know the mascot of the team he's taking over?
He also said, this is a quote. He talked about coaching the Under Armour All-America game. He goes, Jameis, this Amari. Amari, this is Jameis. Talking about Jameis Winston, Amari Cooper. Here's the plan. First day. Jameis, you throw it to Amari. Amari, you catch it. Score 40-something points. Ended up winning pretty good. That's kind of football. All right.
Okay, but Jameis and Amari don't play for Arizona State, Herm.
He said, quote,
I don't know how to tell you that.
We don't huddle anymore in our society. That's a problem with it, to be honest. Close quote. So it seems like they're going to go slow and
huddle.
That's
kind of profound.
Right? And then he also said that somebody was asking him, like, are you familiarized with the recruiting rules? How are you going to get up to speed? He goes, it's real easy. You ask questions. I know I can't mention an athlete's name. So it's good to know that apparently tax reform has come now to the recruiting rule book where it's that it all fits on a sheet of paper. Right? That's what they say about tax. We want a tax code that fits on a sheet of paper where the average American family can fill out their taxes on 1 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Herm Edwards. It's real easy. Rule one. Can't mention an athlete's name. Rule two, there are no more rules. That's the only one. Then he was asked about the Territorial Cup and turned it into a rant against free agency in the NFL and the lack of rivalries.
Wait, is that the Arizona State rivalry trophy? I didn't even know what it was called.
Territorial Cup. Oh, man. Freaking Herm.
Good luck, Herm.
God bless
him. He's
going to
give us some great quotes in the next couple years, however long he lasts.
Hey, the great Phil Fulmer, who was so much better than John Curry, who was interviewing current head coaches, is basically only interviewing coordinators and also Les Miles. So there's that at Tennessee. And T. Martin's not on the list, by the way.
Chad Morris and Brent Venables.
Chad Morris. Oh, yeah. Chad Morris is on there, sitting head coach. Chad Morris, Brent Venables.
Oh, yeah. He's a head coach.
Defensive coordinator at Georgia. And
Kevin Steele.
Kevin Steele. Great. Apparently, he forgot about what happened at Baylor 20 years ago. That's great. And then Les Miles, apparently on his list. So, also, we've gotten questions about Tony Elliott. Tony Elliott, a rumored candidate at UCF. But we don't know that. It's basically Elliott and maybe a couple others. They're looking at their own offensive coordinator. They've done a pretty good job there. I think he's a former quarterback. I can't think of his name right now. Troy Walters, maybe Iowa State. I think he's a former quarterback there.
Well, is that process going to take longer because Scott Frost is coaching the Peach Bowl?
Potentially so. And they could make it long, or they could name them, and then they have a longer transition period, which I think is probably good because you want to know who your coach is before this early signing period. Let's go back to the phones. We got a bunch of stuff to get to, a bunch of coaching rumors to get to, all this stuff. The Willie Taggart stuff is nonsense.
So I've seen tweets both ways. I've seen tweets, Willie Taggart meeting with FSU, things going great. I've seen tweets that say no truth to this. Willie Taggart and FSU have not chatted recently. I don't know.
Man. Wait, who knows? I'm telling you what, this guy, this guy's a piece of work right here. He's a piece of work. We'll talk about it. Dave in Simpsonville is up with us next on Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning or good afternoon, guys. You know, I think what we ought to do, the simplest thing, while Nick Saban is still the coach at Alabama and until his last day of coaching at Alabama, if we're going to have a four-team race, you go ahead and put Alabama in because they're going to be in. And then everybody else plays for the last three spots. Because apparently that's how much credit that Alabama and Nick Saban have in the bank with all these other guys. Either that or they have naked photos of family members, and that's how they continue to get in. Because if you don't at least win your division championship, you got no business being in it. And same with Ohio State last year. And that's just my opinion. I'm a stupid college football fan. But you know what? I don't even want to talk about Alabama because I don't really care. We're just saying to them, next. We'll see you January 1st at 8:45 in New Orleans. Next. And that's what we want to talk about, Mark. Rick, you know, Mark, the chain is great. The turnover chain is great. We appreciate the you and bringing Michael Irvin and Warren Sapp back and all the great color that is Miami football. But you forgot one thing, Mark Rick. You forgot to bring the courage and the determination to be a championship football team, not just a thug football team like you boys were back in the 1980s. Just because you grow facial hair doesn't make you a badass. And everybody dressed in orange and orange Saturday night on the good guy's side showed you what being a badass was by dominating you 38-0. We're not even giving you credit for your 3-point field goal. The only reason you did that is so you wouldn't be 96-0 over the last two meetings against Clemson University. You know, Quark, Kelly, you were talking about history. History does not give Clemson any quarter. Not at all. After we lose 73% of our offense last year, you know, the great Deshaun and great everybody else, we come in at number 7 in the polls. Florida State, why is Florida State number 2 in the country? Because of DeAndre Francois. Where are you? You're nursing a bad knee, and you're whining because your coach didn't send you an email when he skipped town. He left his Christmas tree on the corner lot, but he skipped town on you, and he didn't tell you. Quark, Kelly, let's go look at the quarterback of the greatest ACC team of this year, Kelly Bryant. We rode him under the bus. He's not Deshaun. He's not anybody. Hey, we can't wait for Trevor Lawrence to come in because he's going to come in and he's going to rip the jersey off his chest. He's going to put it all to Superman, Sunshine, all this other stuff. No ugliness to Trevor. But, son, you're still in high school. Let's go to number 2. This guy has done nothing but win. He is 12-1 as a starter. He's taking that record that was set by Chris Morocco and throwing it out the window, Quark. He's completely rewriting Clemson history books for what he's doing, and that's managing the game. When he came out Saturday night, he went 15-for-15. He took the Miami defense and he drugged them across the sidelines. He went side to side, and wore their butts out. They haven't played a football team, to the same caliber as what they did about Clemson. I know we want to talk about the playoffs. We want to talk about the national championship. But let's go back and let's christen what is an awesome, awesome football game to a team that was written off after they got beaten by Syracuse in a game that they didn't even care about, and they had a limp quarterback. This guy's done nothing but come back. He came back with with fury. And did you see him at the end of the game? He's smiling big and bright. He's having a great time. Alabama, all I got to say to you is next. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate it. You do the same. A lot to digest there with Dave. Basically, Kelly Bryant's awesome. Clemson doesn't care who they play. And I agree with him. I agree with him.
Great call, Dave. Love it, Dave.
From you on that? Let's go back.
Fired up.
We got full phone lines. Let's go right back to it. Sam is up with us next. What's up, Sam?
Hey, I'm fine with that.
You got in a tough situation right there, Sam.
I think conference championship should matter. I think the easy way to do it, you know, if Notre Dame wants to get in, they got to get in a conference. But leave it like it is and do the five conference champions matter. Those are the ones that are automatically in. Take it out of those guys' hands. Have one play-in game like the basketball. 2 weeks from now, for the number 4 spot, would be the 2 weakest conferences based on rankings. And let those 2 play 2 weeks from now. It does give them a little advantage by playing 2 weeks from now because they'll still be fresh, and we may get a little rusty late for our turn. But, you know, if we're one of the 2 teams that has the lowest record or ranking next year or something like that, and we still get in, if we don't win our conference, we shouldn't get in. Well, I get it.
I agree with you. Look, if it's going to matter, it needs to matter. I said forever that this year in particular, if all hell broke loose, that Clemson had a better resume than Alabama or Ohio State, it seemed like we were heading down the path where it was likely that we weren't going to have all the favorites win. And even if we did, you got to figure out what to do with Ohio State, Wisconsin. And it turned out Georgia beat Auburn. It turned out Ohio State beat Wisconsin. 2 teams from out of the picture played and won against teams that were in the picture. So what do you do with that? We even talked about this, and in some degree, we're going to have this discussion, and I think maybe just the fact that the conference championship didn't seem to matter that much with Ohio State and Alabama as a tiebreaker, and more so for, like, I'd be mad if I was an Ohio State fan about the conference championship game. Heck, we could have gotten hurt, we could have got, what, like, you made us play that game, it didn't even matter whether we won or lost. Just put us in a New Year's Six, we'll call it a day, you know what I mean?
USC would have to play Ohio State to see who get to play us in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, they would do that, and then we would play the winner of that game, and the other 2 would play on January 1st. Everything else is the same as it is. It would all work itself out. It's just,
right.
Just like Davo. It's just win and you're in. If you're not good enough to win your championship, you shouldn't be in it anyway. You're out of the discussion. Rankings don't matter as how the first 4, I mean the five teams get ranked as far as who gets to play the play-in game. And we take it out of the committee's hands, basically. I think that would work.
Go ahead.
Last thing I got to say is warm banana pudding.
Thanks, Sam. We appreciate it.
You know how good banana pudding is. If you let it get cold, the vanilla wafers get soggy, and it ain't worth it. You throw it out to the dog.
I understand that, Sam. Vanilla pudding. There's nothing worse than bad vanilla pudding.
Banana pudding, not vanilla pudding.
Banana pudding. What'd I say? Yeah, banana pudding. That's
banana
right.
Pudding. Banana.
There you go.
Banana.
Sam, I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Good day.
All right, good stuff. What was that? I don't know. I don't know what war banana pudding is.
How did we get to banana pudding?
I don't know. I mean, maybe taking a shot at Auburn. People want to take shots at Auburn today. Let's go to Haygood and Charleston. Have been hanging on before we hit our next break. What's up, Haygood?
Hey, Quark, how you doing?
Doing good, brother. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Couldn't help myself in getting in on some of the talk about the CFP and then some of the coaching stuff, so I'll try to be quick. I made a tweet yesterday. I think OSU, Ohio State, should be in over Bama on principle. So the top 4 I think should have been Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, OSU because of what we continuously hear about conference championships. And to your point earlier, if conference championships don't matter, we need to like look at that. And I think you're right. Either make conference championships count or decrease, you know, the number of teams that are in. I think it's kind of hard to argue, and maybe you can. I think you can argue Bama on this one, but I think the 4 best teams right now are Clemson, Georgia, Auburn, and then maybe Bama. You know, that's one. I don't know. I don't really believe in Oklahoma. Maybe they'll show us differently in the playoff. But my point about OSU being in because they won the conference championship but not being in because of how good they are is because good teams don't get blown out. They got blown out by Iowa, and then they got beat pretty bad by Oklahoma, who's already in the playoff. And so I think in the eyes of the committee, how do you put an OSU team in who also lost to us last year, didn't score, and also already lost to a team this season in the playoff? I think that might be why OSU is not in. You know, looking forward to seeing how Oklahoma matches up against Georgia. But I think while I'm excited we played Bama the first time and hopefully shut up some of the doubters, you know, you look at Auburn playing Bama right before they play Georgia, and this is a point my boss made this morning. Auburn kind of got beat up a little bit, you know, physically against Bama. They went into the SEC championship, and it kind of showed. Kerryon Johnson, most notably. So I think that's something to look at. We have a whole month or however long it is to prepare for Bama, but how are we going to match up to potentially a Georgia team that's looking real good, you know, 6 days later? And I think, again, back to your point about the SEC being in the playoffs has a lot to do with that. And I think Bama, Saban should be called out for his wishy-washy stuff, but I'm not in the media. So I'll let you all answer that off air. And the last thing I was going to say is my buddy Preston and I made a bet about 2 weeks ago before Georgia played Auburn that I said Gus Malzahn would go to Arkansas, and that almost happened. But did want to ask you, what are your thoughts about Brent Venables and Tony Elliott leaving potentially to the Tennessee job for Brent and Tony Elliott at UCF? I mean, I know I'm not don't want to talk about what ifs, and you really can't, but how would that look for us down the stretch? I think that's a good point to bring up. So anyway, just appreciate you having me, and looking forward to hearing the response off phones.
All right, thanks very much, Hager. We appreciate it. Yeah, he brought us some good stuff there. I want to wait and discuss on the other side before we get back to the phones, because there's a lot to break down there, and we got to go to break. Stay with us. We'll continue this conversation about the CFP, about Clemson-Miami, the conference championship games, all that, when we return from Out of Bounds in just a moment.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders Online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your national champion Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit FoundersSFCU.com. Not a Founders member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
It's bow time at Bojangles. Hurry in now to get a delicious country fried steak biscuit. Only $1.99 for a limited time.
If you dream of owning your own business but are overwhelmed at where to start or what to do, call JanPro. Whether it's extra income or starting a new career, JanPro will guide you, train you, support you the whole way. Just listen.
They set you up so when you do go out, they don't set you up to fail. They set you up to succeed.
As a unit, it makes everybody successful. And I think that's what it is about JanPro. As a unit, they want to be successful.
Call 485-3053 or online at jan-prowc.com.
During the holidays, you'll be sharing wonderful meals. After enjoying the food, don't pour fats or cooking oils down the drain because they can turn into solids and clog up your pipes. Then you'll need Roto-Rooter to take care of the problem. Roto-Rooter is always there for you when you need them, 24/7, 365, online at rotorooter.com or call them locally at 226-9452. Roto-Rooter.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And wait, go troubles down the drain.
It's an AFC North showdown tonight as the Steelers take on the Bengals. We'll preview that game, plus recap the ACC championship and more as Road Rage takes the show to Joe's New York Pizza in Clemson. Come for the show, stay for the great food. Today at Joe's New York Pizza, Clemson.
Football is here and winter weather is not far behind. Get Old Man Winter ready by shopping Craft Stove Store and Patio for all your fireplace needs. Vent-free gas logs heat for just pennies an hour and use no electricity, so they keep you warm even during a power failure. Choose from over 20 burning models of vented and vent-free logs with natural or propane gas. Shop and save at Craft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, for everything your heart desires.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Are you confused about the right steps to take to secure the proper financial plan for your future? The independent advisors at Kiwi Financial Group in Clemson can guide you through every step. Options for fee-based planning allow you to invest with transparency and to know where every dollar goes. We offer sound, comprehensive advice with solutions to fit any investing appetite. Call Kiwi Financial Group today at 654-5043 or online at kiwifg.com.
If only closing on a new home was as easy as buying a cup of coffee. But it's not. It's complicated. Holiday Law Firm can help take the hassle out of buying a home. With a focus on real estate law, Hayes Holiday and his team strive for you to have the best possible closing experience. Offering a free consultation and working with your bank and realtor, they can help you with your next purchase, refi, or home equity line. No matter your budget, you'll get the same care with Holiday Law Firm. Experience the difference at holidaylawfirm.com. Go Tigers!
It's our last auction of the year, Saturday, December 9th. Johnny King Auctioneers comes to Greenwood, selling farm and construction equipment, cars, trucks, golf carts, tools, and more. Anyone can buy or sell. Visit jkauctions.com for details and photos. Check the website daily for updates. Bid live at the auction or online from anywhere you have a connection. That's Saturday, December 9th at the Greenwood County Fairgrounds, 421 Highway 221 South, Greenwood, South Carolina. Johnny King Auctioneers, bringing buyers and sellers together. Go Tigers!
It's a great time to buy a new or certified pre-owned Ford car, truck, or SUV from Anderson Ford on Clemson Boulevard. With approved credit, you could be in a brand new Fusion, Escape, Edge, Focus, Explorer, or F-150. With approved credit, 0% financing could be available. You heard right. 0% APR with approved credit could be yours. A new Ford car, truck, or SUV. Anderson Ford. Doing business differently. Anderson Ford. 3900 Clemson Boulevard, Anderson. Online at andersonfordsc.com.
Out of bounds in more ways than one. Now, back to Kwok on 105.5 The Roar.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hour number three continues. I want to address what Haygood said in the previous call and what we've kind of been talking about with the CFP and everything else. And with the matchups, I do think it's interesting that the last two times Clemson has played Alabama, they have played them first. Now, a lot of people are making a big deal about the lengthier time that Nick Saban will have to prepare for Dabo Swinney and vice versa, that they both get a month rather than a week. But there's this thing, and I'm interested to test this theory with the Bama-type team, because we've never tested this theory with the Bama-type team. It's always been inferior teams. If you ask anybody around the country, who's the best program in the country? You're probably going to get Alabama, but I think an increasing number of people will have started to think that Clemson is in the conversation. They are the two. These are the premier programs in America, mm-hmm. year in and year out. This is who it is. These are the standard bearers, okay? With that being said, I believe that Alabama has an effect on teams that extends well beyond games, and we've talked about it for years now, that when you play Alabama, it rocks you. So if you play Alabama in late September, then those next few games, if you don't have a bye week somewhere in there, you're getting more and more hurt because they just mashed you. They physically mauled you and oppressed you.
Even in a loss, you could say that kind of happened to Auburn.
Exactly. That was Haygood's point, and that's the point his boss was making. Clemson has never had to do that with this Alabama. They've not had to deal with that. They played them last. So you get in the ice bath on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever, you get back home, losing or winning the natty. That's what they've done. And you get to slow recover through the offseason till mad drills. This will be interesting to see. And particularly, I think I'd rather play Georgia than Oklahoma. Just having watched Clemson this year, I think Clemson fans, we'll do this poll at some point. Who would you rather play, Georgia or Oklahoma? I think you'd probably rather play Georgia because it seems like they're less explosive, maybe more physically similar, but less explosive than what Clemson is. And there's this fear that the way Oklahoma's offense is with Lincoln Riley now, that they're able to go downfield and get some big plays. But I think the only realm in which that's not true is if Georgia beats Oklahoma, then Oklahoma is going to be beat to bits by Georgia in a way they haven't been beat to bits all year. So they'll be physically frustrated probably and a little bit sore and weaker and maybe injured after playing Georgia, a team that's very physical and wants to win the line of scrimmage. If Georgia wins that game against Oklahoma, I don't think Oklahoma can do that to Georgia. I think Georgia will have won more of a beauty contest, more of a frilly contest, where they are going to take the fight to Oklahoma and overwhelm them, and I'm not sure Oklahoma can hit back. You know what I mean? Like, if Oklahoma wins, they will have hit back, but they would have absorbed some blows from Georgia. I'm not sure that Oklahoma can deal that same blow to Georgia.
Yes.
And I don't think there's any question that if Clemson beats Alabama, that Alabama will do that to Clemson, that it will be a bloodbath. It will be a slobber knocker in the trenches, and that Clemson will not be fully healthy going into the next game.
I think that's a great point. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a great point. Especially when you look at who Clemson's played in the semis the last 2 years. It's been Oklahoma. It's been Ohio State. Teams that haven't exactly... I think neither team was as physical as Clemson. And they haven't played their most physical opponent till the Natty. I think you're exactly right. Before we get back to the phone squawk, I want to tell you that this hour is brought to you by Christopher Trucks. 66 years in business in the upstate. Fourth generation owned. They have over 4 million in new and used inventory in stock. I'm talking work ready trucks, dump trucks, landscape trucks, sprinter vans, Isuzu, OTR and Western Star, flatbeds, flatbed dump trucks. They have it all. And also, if you're maybe taking the RV down to NOLA, taking the RV down to New Orleans, make sure you get the RV serviced and repaired at Christopher Trucks. They have state-of-the-art Hunter all-wheel alignment machine specifically for RVs. Their service department is open 7 a.m. until midnight every single weekday. And you can find out more information about all of their inventory at ChristopherTrucks.com.
Thanks very much, Kelly. To the other question before we go back to the phones about losing coordinators. All right. If Brent Venables goes to Tennessee, then I think there's a major impact because they're going to want somebody to be there and hit the ground running, it's a big deal. If they hire
Tony
Brent
Elliott
Venables,
to UCF seems much more likely to
right.
me than Brent Venables to Tennessee.
If they hire Brent Venables after John Curry, who everyone hated, had a deal in place with Mike Leach that was turned down by the university, there will be a massive revolt, or there should be, the likes of which that we've never seen at Tennessee unless they only care about winning and losing if they like or don't like the person, right? Like, whether you like or don't like the person is the biggest deal. So, like, if Fulmer comes out and he comes out with nothing is Brent Venables. If he comes out with Brent Venables, our guy, when he could have had Greg Schiano and he could have had Mike Leach with the other guy that he just ran out of town with torches and pitchforks, then that's a failure. That's a failed hire. He's not a better hire than Greg Schiano.
At this point, Kwok, I think Tennessee fans just want a coach. They want a coach that they can be – at least seem proud of, that seems like can do a good job, that has had success wherever he's been, that there's a good reason why you're hiring him. I mean, yes, Tennessee fans might just never be happy, and that's kind of the bottom line, but they're going to get a coach. And if it's a respectable coach that Phil Fulmer has hired because Phil Fulmer is the godfather at Tennessee, I think they're going to be okay with it.
Well,
how much more can you complain? You need a coach.
You had two coaches in there that had head coaching experience that have won. You have a coup where Phil Fulmer basically has mounted an insurrection, and now all of a sudden, after that coup, he comes in with a worse hire. Like, he's under pressure to make a splashy hire. If he comes in with Les Miles or somebody like it is going to be doomsday scenario. It's going to look like Will Smith, I Am Legend. They're just going to burn the whole place to the ground.
It's better to have a coach than be what you are right now, Tennessee.
I agree with that.
You have to hire a coach, okay?
Everything changes when you hadn't had a coach for 2 weeks.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's go back to the North of Communication phone line. Slooper is up with us next. Hey, Slooper.
Hey, Kwok. How you doing, bud?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Hey, man. So I had Ohio State. And part of the reason I had Ohio State in was one, because Alabama's resume wasn't good. Two, they didn't have a conference championship. And the last reason I thought that they would put them in is because of this. There's no reward for being ranked number one in the college football playoffs. There is an obvious advantage for Alabama, who had a week off. They didn't even play. And now they're going to play 3.5 hours away from Alabama and New Orleans, and give them pretty much a home field advantage. Not. I mean, there'll still be a ton of
Clemson fans there,
but I can't believe that never came up
You know, yesterday, listening to all the shows, that never came up. That, hey, it doesn't really do you any good to be number one. I don't understand. Honestly, 1, 4, 2, 3, none of that matters in this playoff situation. None of that really matters because the team that was likely not even going to get in now has home field advantage.
You know what, that's an interesting point, that Alabama now has a proximity advantage and potentially has a competitive advantage over Clemson as a team that has accomplished less, you could argue, than any team in the short history of the playoff. Salooper, I think that's an excellent point, and I think that's why conference championships and their relevance in this particular market, this particular age of college football, that we've got to address it. And I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, and I'll also say this. I don't care who we play. As long as Hunter Renfro is lining up in orange and white and we're going down to play Alabama, I think we'll be just fine. So it doesn't really matter to me. Once you get to the Final Four, that's the way it is. You're playing good teams everywhere. I just thought it was odd that number one doesn't mean anything in the college football playoff. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Looper. We appreciate it. And that's the principal argument for having six. That being number one doesn't matter. As long as you're one of the top four, you're on the dance floor, you're playing a neutral venue. In this case, maybe the four has a little more favorable draw than the one.
There's no advantage to being, I would say, any of the seeds. That's why the number one overall seed in the college football playoff has yet to win it.
That's true, because there's no advantage of doing it.
And I mean, I'm kind of okay with that, unless you expand it. When you just have four, I don't really know how you're supposed to give a team an advantage, because you're getting the top four teams, and most likely the fourth team is really, really, really good.
The only way you could do it is play the semis on campus, but because the bowl system's here to stay, it's not going to work. Let's go to Tim, who's up with us next on the North of Communication phone lines. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me chime in. I just had an argument for why I think the playoff committee hasn't been really honest. I listened to the ESPN go back and forth to saying that they weren't being politically correct, and they were, instead of giving the most deserved teams, they're looking at truly what the best four teams are. And my argument, well, there's a couple of them, but first is no one was probably impressed with that Big Ten championship game. I mean, if the committee is true to what they said, then what they're saying is if in the last minute Wisconsin drives down the field, beats Ohio State by 1 point, right, just in the last minute of the game, then they would have been undefeated. Now, only then are they better than Alabama, right? But because they didn't do that in the last minute game, a game that Alabama's sitting on their duff watching, they're not playing, now Alabama's the better team. So what the committee was not honest is that what really should have happened in week 14 is they put Alabama number four. They didn't put it on paper that way, but that's what they did. And they basically said, somebody's going to have to impress me in the Big Ten championship to bump Alabama off, or we're putting Alabama in. And, you know, my solution is an easy one. My solution is if you don't play in a conference championship and week 14 ends, you cannot move up in the polls. You could, if you're there already, fine. You can, and somebody decides that you hold there. But think how that would have solved the problem. Alabama was sitting number five at week 14. They didn't play in a conference championship because they didn't earn it, right? So they cannot move up. So whatever happens, they're going to be five or lower. And you give it to somebody else. You cannot reward a team that didn't even earn the chance to play and tell these teams, in some cases, these teams are playing two more games than the person they're being compared to, and the committee acts like that doesn't matter. It's just so unfair, and I'm so sick of the Alabama lovers out there that every year go, use your eyes. Can't you see that Alabama's better than everyone? And I'm like, no, I see Alabama playing mediocre SEC teams, and I hear you telling me when I watch the game how great Alabama is, but that's not what I see. I just hear you saying that. But then the same people are the ones that declare, oh, Alabama's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So wasn't that the greatest fear when we went to this conference championship playoff? Wasn't that the greatest fear that everyone had is they're going to find a way to put two SEC teams in there and declare up front that they're the best four teams. even when it's not mathematically true, they're still doing it. And I don't know. I'm just one who's I don't care that Alabama has to play. I mean that Clemson has to play Alabama in that regard. I just don't think Alabama deserved it, and I just think it's just not fair. I feel bad for the USCs, for all the teams out west that never get a shot at it. Thanks for letting me throw my comments in.
Sure. Thanks very much, Tim. We appreciate it. You know, in lieu of my sort of more ridiculous notion that we play conference championships that don't matter in the playoff, I think Tim's idea is really good. Mm-hmm. That we play these games, but if you're not contesting in the conference championship, you can't move up. It would require transparency from the committee. We think this is one of the four best, and it would not allow someone's resume to get better based solely on what somebody else does in there. I think that's a brilliant, and look, we may not say that, but I think if the committee adopted that institutionally, that it would be a lot more transparent, because I agree. Basically what they said is, If the winner of the Big Ten championship is Wisconsin, we're basically only going to put them in because they haven't lost any games. If it's Ohio State, we don't know.
I love that from Tim.
I think it's great.
I'm bummed we didn't think of that because that's so smart. Because, yes, then you cannot be rewarded for not playing. If the committee thinks you're one of the top four and you don't need a conference championship, then they need to tell us why they think that. And if they stand by that, then that's fine. But to have Alabama move up and benefit from not playing is the main beef I think everyone has.
Now, if you have five conference championships and three of the champions are 9-3, then, and it knocks some 11-1 teams out, then it becomes an issue, because then you've got some quote-unquote undeserving champions and some more deserving non-champions. So do you keep the non-champions in with
right.
two, or you do bump these in? For this year, it would have. That's why I say
sense.
I don't know if I like it as a general rule of thumb, but I think it's an interesting perspective in years like this, that if you weren't one of the top four and all the teams that are contesting are right here kind of bunched together, that the winner of these games is going to jump you and get in, because you can't be better when you're not playing.
Right.
That's the idea. I think that's an excellent point by Tim. We'll go back to the phone. We got three on hold. We're going to get to all three of your phone calls in our final segment. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in just a moment.
Every now and then, Ramona successfully wins Walt's money. It's hard to come by, but she deserves every dollar she gets. In the spirit of the holiday, you'll have a chance to win Walt's tickets. Listen all this week as Walt gives away 3-day passes to this year's Carolina Rebellion, May 4th through 6th at the Rock City Campgrounds at Charlotte Motor Speedway. This year's lineup will be jam-packed with great rock bands for three straight days, May 4th through 6th. Win Walt's tickets all week from 105.5 to Roar, WCCP.
During the holidays, you'll be sharing wonderful meals. After enjoying the food, don't pour fats or cooking oils down the drain, because they can turn into solids and clog up your pipes. Then you'll need Roto-Rooter to take care of the problem. Roto-Rooter is always there for you when you need them, 24/7, 365, online at rotorooter.com, or call them locally at 226-9452. Roto-Rooter.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name,
and wait long troubles down the drain.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like 2 for Tuesday. Buy one roll and get the second half price. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
I'm Guy, the insurance guy. Did you know that only 5% of HR execs believe employees truly understand their benefits? This may be related to the fact that the vast majority of enrollments, 71%, are passive. Insurance is an abstract and very complex product, so clear, effective communication is critical. Without it, everyone has headaches and is left in the dark. Did you know that with effective communication, even a below average plan has 76% employee satisfaction? If employees don't understand something, it has little to no value. If it has no value, employees leave. Don't get taken to the cleaners. Call us, 864-INSURE-YOU. I'm Guy, the insurance guy. My company is The Insurance Source, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
Human Technologies Incorporated can save your company time and money. How? They'll create a custom solution for your company's need. Organizational? Yes. Manufacturing? Absolutely. Employment? You bet. They can help you find new team members or launch and manage a startup. They'll help train and build your team. Human Technologies Incorporated is ready to hit the ground running for you. Let HTI bring the solutions to your problems. Visit any of our upstate offices in Seneca, Malden, Anderson, and Spartanburg, or log on to htijobs.com.
Used vehicles only, all plus tax, tag title, 224 closing fees, trade value with purchase on select models once we make a deal. It's 12/31/17.
It's Ralph Hayes Toyota's pre-owned sales event. We've had a record year, and ownership has instructed every used car, truck, and SUV on the lot to be sold. To avoid year-end taxes and write-downs, Ralph Hayes Toyota has over 100 cars, trucks, and SUVs in stock, starting as low as $69.95. Many with remaining factory warranties and certified. At Ralph Hayes Toyota, your $1,000 trade is now worth $2,000. Your $2,000 trade now worth $3,000. And your $4,000 trade, $5,000. With over 100 vehicles to choose from, starting as low as $69.95. If you're looking for a pre-owned car, now's the time. And Ralph Hayes Toyota is the place. Visit us online at RalphHayesToyota.com or give us a call at 864-226-1571.
Toyota. South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. The South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles is now accepting documents for you to change your current card to a federally approved Real ID. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a Real ID license online next year. Required documents on file with the SCDMV, driving privileges and good standing, a regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
Are you planning a new plant or manufacturing addition? How about a new commercial center? Or does your existing building roof leak more than it keeps out? Give us a call at Metal Building Supply, 295-0506, or come by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont and talk to George or Kevin about our solutions and the contractors we work with. We have the materials, systems, and contractors to make sure your business plans are successful. And remember, go Tigers, and stay tuned to The Roar for more information on your construction needs.
You've heard folks talk about the sauce at Joe's New York Pizza. I'm here to tell you it is the sauce that makes the lasagna so great. Believe me, I know lasagna, and Joe's New York Pizza lasagna is my favorite. Their homemade marinara sauce, beef, ricotta, and mozzarella cheese loaded with their special spices. The lasagna at Joe's New York Pizza, which comes with a salad and those famous garlic knots, is where it's at. Seneca or Clemson, make it Joe's New York Pizza for lasagna with the sauce.
Where shall we begin?
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
105.5 The Roar. Back to Kwok and Kelly. Yee-hoo.
This is legitimate breaking news.
Breaking news.
We have the list of bowl game gifts for 2017-18 by the Sports Business Journal. That means that we have at least one, if not many, segments.
That means coming Santa soon. Came early.
Coming soon. Next week when we get more into bowl games.
Oh, we can't wait.
We'll talk more about this.
We're going to break down the bowl games. We're going to talk about matchups and just, I mean, you're going to be tired of the bowl games. By the time we
go heavily into the bowl game, many interactive segments with Twitter polls and things of that nature, where we try to figure out what our audience feels about. But like we got some ideas. We got some stuff for, because it's finals week next week. There are no games, so there's nothing to really talk about. Like, you can't do interviews. Basically, it's the dullest week of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But not because we got bowls. We got bowls to talk about.
Oh, it's gonna be fun. Oh, and some of these bowl names, I mean, they just get more and more outrageous. We could play. Real bowl game or nah? And I'll just make up bowl games, and you tell me if they're real.
Yeah, we got to do
because
that.
Some of these are absolutely outrageous.
We might need to bring in some interns, just try to stump the interns on the game. Because I'm gonna research
the
game. You know
the real ones.
I'm gonna research.
You know all about the Dollar General Bowl.
Yeah, you doggone right.
And it's real.
You doggone right. I want to see the gifts for the Dollar General Bowl. Some paper towels and some whatever.
You get a few bucks. Go on that Dollar General shopping spree, goes a long way.
What does Michael Scott say? You go into Burlington Coat Factory with $645 or whatever, you're literally a king. Let's go to Reggie, who's up with us next on Northern Communication Phone Lines. Final segment of the program. Go join Walt at Joe's New York Pizza. We're in Louisiana, so don't come find us. You'll never
you
be
won't
able to,
find
ever.
Us.
Reggie's up next. Hey, Reggie.
Hey, listen, I got two quick things to tell you, and then I'm going to shut up. First of all, Alabama was already ahead of Ohio State last week. They were fifth. And they were behind Wisconsin because they wasn't the committee wasn't sure what Wisconsin was until they played Ohio State. So Alabama didn't go up. Wisconsin went down. And then the other thing, when they first were planning this whole scenario of the four teams, one of the biggest problems that they had getting the Big Ten and 12, a Pac-12, into the thing was because of the Rose Bowl. Guess what? They lost their Rose Bowl this year. Neither one of them is going to be in there. And that is just going to be huge. And I think it's going to create some issues over come January the 1st when there's not a when the Rose Bowl is played and there's not a Pac-10 or a Pac-12 or a Big Ten team in there. There's going to be a lot of upset people. All right, I'm gone.
You know what? I agree with that, Reggie, and some of it is the way that the leagues are perceived, but some of it is what they did. Like, the way to beat perception of your league is not to – and we appreciate the phone call, Reggie. Thank you very much. The way to beat perception of your league is not to continue to beat up on each other, but it's what you do in the non-conference. When Northwestern's one of the strongest teams in the Big Ten West, and they'd go and lose by 30 points at Duke or whatever, remember that game that we constantly came back to? Northwestern loses by 30 at Duke. When Wisconsin's best non-conference win is against Florida Atlantic, when you have Ohio State losing at home to Baker Mayfield, who plants the flag, the thing that Ohio State's most known for this year, crazy fourth quarter, Penn State, Baker plants the flag. Penn State didn't have any wins to speak of in the non-conference either. So you've got your marquee team. Michigan hadn't beaten a ranked team since 2 years ago or something. Like, I'm pretty sure they didn't beat a single team to finish with a winning record this year. I think that's right. Michigan, to me, that's the weakness in the league, is that like these teams didn't do enough to be able to overcome the perception of the league, which you talked about, 15, 16, not scoring any points. And then the Pac-12, where you look there and it's just a jumbled mess where you watch these teams and you're like, I mean, USC, maybe their best game's pretty good, but man, you know, overall, you can't trust this team. Stanford looks great one time, rushing for a million yards. Then they play like some other team and Rice Love seems semi-healthy.
They lose to San Diego State.
They average 3 yards a carry sometime. Their quarterback situation is terrible. Washington plays great at home, goes on the road, gets beat. Washington State, kind of, they had some great, and then all of a sudden, like, they're winning games and Leach is benching their quarterback. They seem totally unstable. Arizona and Arizona State were better than we thought, and they finished like at 500 or right around it. Arizona's best quarterback didn't play for a month. The Pac-12 is so cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs this year that they're out by default. They just didn't deserve to get in.
I agree with that, and I don't feel sorry for the Big Ten, and I don't think anyone's going to convince me to feel sorry for the Big Ten because I think that they have made their own bed at this point.
They have.
Because one of their divisions is terrible. Okay, and the best team in that division did not challenge itself in the non-conference. And then with Ohio State has received every single mulligan possible in its history. Like last year, they made the playoff, and the committee gave them a chance, putting them in. They didn't win their own division, and people were outraged, and Ohio State laid an egg. So it is very hard for me to feel difficult or to feel bad for the Big Ten. The one thing I'll push back on myself that I just thought about, Kwok, and this is interesting. Last year, Ohio State got in because they beat Oklahoma. Really?
Right.
I mean, that's why they got in, didn't win their division. This year, if they don't challenge themselves in the non-conference, all right, because of their name, let's say they play, you know, whoever else.
They play Akron or somebody.
Sure. And they don't challenge themselves in the non-conference. They have the one conference loss to Iowa. They win their league. They're probably in
if they don't check. Which that's the point that people were making yesterday.
Bama,
why would you play a tough non-conference schedule?
Bama tried.
Although
they didn't, it was a neutral site.
I will push back on this. We think Bama's best win is a fictitious win against a Florida State team that may never have existed. And here's where we have to be careful. By the end of the season, we have enough games to figure out who teams are. You know when people thought that maybe Florida State was about more than just their quarterback? About October 1st. Like, we knew in about a month. this team had more issues and was going to fall apart at some point, at least relative to the expectations of being a national contender. It was not going to be a national contender. So we forgot about them till the 1st of October. Then all of a sudden, when Alabama gets in the playoff, we resurrect this argument that they hurt Florida State's quarterback as if that game is the reason. That injury is the reason that Florida State is 6-6. Now, that might be true, but with the quarterback, anybody comfortable saying Florida State's winning more than 8 or 9 ball games this year? I'm not. We give credence to Alabama scheduling and playing that game based on a fictitious version of Florida State that we believed existed before the season, and now right-thinking people agree it never did. It was a complete fabrication, totally made up. We have prioritized with that Alabama scheduling Florida State. We have prioritized what we thought before any games were played more than what happened on every field where Florida State played football this year. If we think that I'm not saying that Alabama didn't try to schedule a great team. I'm saying they didn't schedule a great team, and pretending that it would have been a great team with DeAndre Francois all year long is absolutely mythical. It's fictitious. It's nonsense. There is no factual basis for that argument other than we thought so before we ever saw the team play.
I completely agree.
All right, very good. Let's go back to the phones. One more phone call on this jam-packed episode. We appreciate all you joining us. And if you missed any of the great conversation we've had on multiple levels about the college football playoff, WCCBFM.com, you can access all 3 hours of the program and all 13 hours every single day of our local and original content there on WCCBFM.com. JC Money's going to close us out today. What's up, JC Money?
Hey, JC Money here. This is my first time calling in to you guys, so I'm going to try to make it count. I know we don't have much time.
Awesome.
But I believe the BCS playoff system was set up to find the number 1, 2, and 3 teams, not the number 4. And follow me here. Clemson, Oklahoma, and Georgia could all have the beast to say that we should be in a national championship game if the playoff didn't exist. I think we would. We may be. That would be what we would be arguing right now is who's playing in the national championship game in January. Should have been Clemson versus Georgia, or maybe Clemson versus Oklahoma State, whatever. So, the BCF the playoff system was set up to find the 3 teams, not the number 4 team. Therefore, I don't believe as a number, let's say 5 and 6. Or even number 4, that you have any beef to say, hey, we should be the number 4 team. Because the number 5, everybody in America knows Ohio State is not a number 1 or number 2 team. I think we would agree with that. They were lucky. They
yes.
were hoping, fighting to get in as a number 4 team, and that's it. And as much as I disagree with Alabama being the number 4 team, to me, past number 3, they're just kind of lucky to be there. Just look at Ohio State last year. I mean, and that kind of proves that point and how badly they lost. Lastly, real quick, I agree 100% with that previous caller who said somebody who doesn't have a conference championship does not move up. For example, this year, Alabama, of course, you know, maybe even Notre Dame in future years, could fit into that category. That's an excellent. I hope that takes some national traction. But that's about it. Number 1 through 3 count. Number 4, you're lucky to be in. Number 5, just don't even argue. You have no argument to even say that you should be in the mix.
Thanks
and
very much, JC Money.